Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx, a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable. Spoiler alert, the answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue number 20 today, which contains Think It Over by Theodore Animan, March of Events by Theodore Animan, Inflation by Monty Crow, Silver or Copper by Conrad Bush, Letter at Hand and Acted Upon by Bruce Elliott, From Beyond the Grave, Theodore Animan, and The Editorial by Theodore Animan. The editorial in issue number 20 opens with the news that the SAM has finally brought charges against a member for exposing magic. And the defendant is Harlan Tarbell, whose cutout illusions have been showing up in five and dime stores. Tarbell's defense, Animan notes, is that he's an educator. Animan finds that distinction meaningless when the wrong people are being educated. Tom Worthington, who had been publicly challenging the SAM for years to name a single member suspended for exposure, is presumably sharpening his pen. Fred Keating gets a mention for a reminiscent article in the April Sphinx. Animan calls the writing style the best to appear in that publication in years and suggests that the editor put Keating on the staff. There's an item from Dr. Jacob Daly about what to do with the scorecard from a new deck. A quick double turnover sequence that produces a card apparently with two backs, which is then torn up and tossed aside. Animan adds a kicker. Swap the scorecard for a duplicate matching the deck's back. Then note that this makes two identical cards in the deck as you tear it up. A small slight becomes a small mystery. Then there are the piracy complaints. Glenn Gravett is advertising his encyclopedia with a plea to buy the original rather than the copy, which Animan finds rich, given that over 20% of the encyclopedia's contents come from Jordan and Animan without credit. A separate anonymous publication has been putting out the same material in five separately bound parts, collecting money from dealers with a royalty promise attached. But Animan has checked the royalty clause, found two of his items in the first volume, contacted the advertisers, and is giving them 60 days before the whole matter goes to the post office. He notes the publisher's address will be familiar to anyone who got burned by the same operation before. And he closes the editorial by noting that issue number 20 has a dedication. It contains no card tricks whatsoever. Think It Over is a recurring column of performance advice, short, practical observations collected from Animan's own experience and from others he respects. Few items worth highlighting. On card tricks for a distance audience, use aces. Sevens through tens are invisible past the front rows, and even court cards blur at a distance, but aces read. On the wand, a white wand against a black suit gives a better contrast than the traditional black one. On manipulative cleverness, showing off card flourishes before doing a trick actually undermines the effect. Once the audience knows you can handle cards expertly, the mystery level drops. Hide the skill, don't advertise it, unless you're Jason LaDani, I think. On finishing the show, always end on stage or platform, not in the audience. And don't leave yourself with anything to return after the final effect. On studying other performers. When watching a working magician, don't spend the whole time trying to figure out the method. Study what makes him commercially valuable. The presentation, the pacing, the relationship with the audience. On props. A fake egg should be handled like a real egg, carefully, as if it might break. The imitation only works if the performer believes it. A remark credited to Dorney, just because Hoffman's Modern Magic says to use 10 cards for a sleeve trick doesn't mean you can't do it with 7 or 5. Adapt. On a personal related note, and I may have mentioned this before, but it can't be said too often, if you're doing Out of This World with a full deck of cards, stop it. Nobody has that kind of time. And a final note, half warning, half lament. If nothing is done soon about the exposure problem, there won't be much left to write a Think It Over column about. And a personal comment from me that people were saying that 90 years ago, they're saying it now, and magic is still a thing. Could be that exposure isn't something to get your blood pressure up about. The next item in this issue is a page of newspaper clippings from back in the day, and you can see those at JinxNavigator.com. This next one is from Monty Crow. It's called Inflation. and it's a table stunt built around a topical premise, topical forever apparently, that requires nothing more than a dollar bill and a five. The dollar is laid on top of the five and the two are rolled together slowly and tightly. While rolling, the performer talks about inflation and how it now takes five times as much money to get a dollar's worth of anything. Near the end of the roll, the helper is asked to put a finger on the portion of the dollar still showing to prevent any trickery. The bills are unrolled, the five is now on top of the one, and the helper's finger is still on the dollar. The switch happens automatically during the rolling process. There's a physical moment built into the geometry of the two bills where the five naturally flops over, and that's the whole secret. Crow suggests stopping the roll at just the right point and then bringing the helper's attention to the remaining unrolled portion, which covers the critical moment beautifully. Full details and the original diagrams are at jinxnavigator.com. It is the perfect EDC as long as you have $6 in your pocket. This one, silver or copper, is from Conrad Busch, and it's a coin effect built around a borrowed handkerchief and a free choice. Of course, you might want to have your own handkerchief handy, unless you're performing for someone really old or a dandy. A half dollar and a penny are placed on a borrowed handkerchief draped over your palm. The hand turns over, the cloth is twisted around both coins, and the helper holds the ends. They can feel both coins through the fabric. They name which one they want, and you pull that coin right through the cloth. The method involves a secret release of one coin during the turnover, which gets positioned behind the other inside the handkerchief. From there, whichever coin the helper names, the performer produces it, keeping or revealing the appropriate one, depending on the choice. There's also a more visual handling for those comfortable with coin work, where the turnover is done faster and the coin briefly travels through the air before being caught by the other hand, but it's masked the whole time by the handkerchief. Anneman's editor's note suggests substituting a Green River souvenir coin for the penny, a nod to the touring review he'd just come off of. Full details on this at jinxnavigator.com. This next item is a reader letter printed in full. Bruce Elliott writes to share a practical and economical solution to the card switching tray. The standard prop costs $3 from a magic dealer. Elliott's version cost a dime. Glue the cover of one magazine to the back of another. The double-sided magazine serves as a natural-looking switching surface that nobody suspects. His refinement is to use the back advertising page rather than the front cover, no lurid pulp imagery to attract attention. And since advertisers tend to run the same back page ad for several weeks, finding a duplicate is easy and costs nothing. Elliott notes that this idea arrived during a combination of writer's block and whiskey. Anneman prints it without comment, which is its own kind of endorsement. Next one is from Anneman, from Beyond the Grave, and he opens with a disclosure. He'd been sitting on this effect for several years, originally intending to sell it as a dollar secret, but now he's decided to just give it away. A helper takes one blank card from a packet of at least 20, thinks of a relative or friend who has passed away, and writes the full name, first and last, on one side of the card. The card goes back into the packet face down, and the spectator shuffles everything together. The performer takes the packet and begins dealing cards one at a time, while the helper spells out the dead person's name one letter per card. When the last letter is called, the performer holds up the card in hand. The helper repeats the name. The card is turned over. Yeah, it's the one with the name on it. Everything can be left with the audience. Anneman describes this himself as a card spelling trick in weird dress. The method involves a packet switch and a subtle handling of the cards during the deal that orients things at the right moment without drawing attention. He does offer two versions. One is cleaner than the other and notes that the non-playing card format is deliberate. Blank cards don't read as a card trick, which is precisely the point. Full details on From Beyond the Grave at jinxnavigator.com. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. It is completely, absolutely free. Use the contact form on that site. Let me know what you think of the podcast, good or bad. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue 21, which includes Money Mentalism by Charles Rosenthal. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.